TV time machine, TV time machine, woo! TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to TV Time Machine Podcast. I am Luis.
And I'm Adam.
And we love TV.
We love TV.
19 times, bud.
Yeah.
19 times and we still have not gotten it even close.
We got close last episode.
Very close.
Pretty close.
Well, welcome everybody to episode 119, the clip show or recap show, where we talk about our favorite episodes of our own show and then talk about episodes in television that are recaps of themselves. It's a way to save money. I've been doing some research on why they do this. When they run out of money for a season, they'll do a recap.
That's when they do the recap, yeah.
Or when they run behind schedule and can't produce a fresh episode. Mm.
Yeah.
They'll be like, recap episode. Let's do a recap.
Yep. We can get it in the can in a couple days. Right? Because usually the family is sitting around the couch or something, or they're at the dinner table or...
Yeah, they're all sitting around the fireplace and they're like, hey, Fonzie, tell us all the times that you messed up. Or and then they clip, they flash back to the clip of the episode. It's kind of a really cheap way of doing an episode. Shameless did that during the pandemic, though. And that was really smart because they couldn't,
couldn't
film full hours. So they would film little segments and then interject clips. But they would, with each character, they took care of like 8 fresh episodes that way. Very smart.
Wow.
We
haven't seen that show.
Oh wow, it's a good one. There's so much. I haven't seen The Wire.
Oh, it's so good.
And here I am talking about TV.
I'm not done with it though. I'm not done with it. I have to finish it.
Did you finish The Sopranos? Like
what?
Did you start The Sopranos and finish it?
I didn't finish Sopranos, but I gotta watch Saints.
Oh man, Saints is so over the top and like it's like so over the top. I can see why the critics, the purists of Sopranos didn't like it. They were like, this is so like, but I loved it. I thought it was a very pulp, almost like making fun of itself. I mean, because they were like killing people in the streets and
yeah,
there's just one part where he like strangles someone at the beach and just leaves the body floating in the water. No one's around. It's like,
yeah, come on,
this would never happen. But if you're a mobster, you know, you can do that. You know, you just go into a place and snuff them out.
Mm-hmm.
Whack them. Let's whack them at them.
Yeah.
I'd be the world's worst
hitman. Did David Chase say this, or was this just like, am I just thinking this, that like Sopranos itself was supposed to be almost like the Unforgiven of gangster movies?
Yeah, he said it on Martin Guerin's show.
Okay, yeah.
And it wasn't supposed to be, it was supposed to be a...
it was supposed to be a movie.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be a movie.
Limited series at best, and then it became this,
mm-hmm.
this huge thing. Sopranos never did a recap episode. They didn't have to.
But they did so many, callbacks to things from films, like in the Godfather scene where they shoot the guy down and the oranges... You know, like the oranges from the fruit stand, like fall all over. They did that with Tony, but he's got like a jug of orange juice, and somebody shoots the jug of orange juice. You know,
Tony gets shot like, up in that dude. He got shot up a lot of times.
Yeah,
it's movie season. I've been binging. I go through these phases where I can't concentrate on film, so I'll watch a lot of YouTube. But this weekend, I binged a lot of new stuff. I watched the new Jake Gyllenhaal, Antoine Fuqua, Guilty. I saw Fast 9 last night. It was, not good. Halloween Kills.
It sucks that the Fast series isn't better than it is, because it was like one of the first films with like a diverse cast, you know, that was like... It was like low budget, right? And then it was like this huge sensation, you know. And the first few were pretty good. the Tokyo, it's like, oh my god,
drift. It's when everyone's back for this one too.
And yeah,
I think it's interesting that they haven't killed off, Brian
mm-hmm.
in the movies yet. So at the end, they're like,
so wait, they just talk about him as if he's alive?
Yeah, and then last night, the way it ended was, and this is not a spoiler.
Yeah.
Of course, they survive, you know.
Of course.
And space, literal space.
Yeah,
space.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And they're all at the barbecue, and the little Dom is about to say grace. I'm going to say grace. I don't know what to say. He's like, hold up, little man. There's an empty table. There's an empty chair. And they're like, oh. And then Brian's car pulls up, and they all look. And Vin, they close up on Vin's face, and then it cuts. It's like, what are you doing? How are you going to
just kill
him off? He's dead. He's been dead for a while.
Yeah.
No offense.
So, no. Yeah, of course. But, like, is that the end of the series then?
No, there's one more. Fast 10.
Because then you expect, because where is he?
I don't know. He was watching the kids in this one because they were all like... Globetrotting and going to space, and so stupid. They're like
we don't really need you.
There was a scene where Letty and Dom were talking. She's like, you know, Dom, our babies are in the safest hands ever. He's like, I know, with Brian. Like, what kind of what? Just come
is
on.
That like that sounds like Spy Kids, you know?
So dumb.
That's like a line from Spy Kids.
With Brian. It's like, no, you guys had a chance to address this years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
They even used his brother for Fast 7 for some clips. And then ironically, Lucas, what's his name? From Tokyo Drift, the country kid.
Oh, yeah. Did they brought him into the series?
Yeah, but he looks just like Paul Walker in a lot of
Yeah, movies. He did.
So it's like, what the
fuck? I was like, that's why they hired this kid, right? They're like,
so, yeah, and he looks aged. I mean, they all, it's kind of sad because they were like all at the end, they everybody reunited, and even characters that were dead somehow came back to life. And they were all like eating dinner and hugging.
So wait, are they actually alive or did they all die?
No, I don't know. They're probably all in purgatory.
Is it like some meta ending where they're like, actually all dead in that restaurant?
even Tyreek, is that his name? Tyrese.
Tyrese, yeah.
He's like, are we alive? Or are we invincible? Because he starts talking about all the things they've been through.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think we might be invincible. It's just weird. Yeah. It's just like they're starting to make fun of themselves. It's just so like.
Or are they dead? Are they all dead?
I don't know.
They're all secretly dead.
Dude, they drove their they.
And then Fast 10 is going to be about how they have to like. Race the devil to like get to come back to life or something like that.
They sent him to space. No training how to be in space.
Yeah, yeah.
No physical.
No training.
They just sent them.
And they're just like, you guys. We know you guys had 8 movies already. You're prepared for this.
And they're like, we can't do our job. We need to drive through the satellite to get this to make it stop because the satellite was going to trigger all these nukes. And he's like, let's drive through it. Let's prove our theory that we're invincible. They drive through and survive. It's like, oh man, this is like, wow. Anyway, I've been binging a lot of that. I've been binging a lot of horror films. I'm going to watch original Friday the 13th here later. After our episode, I'm going to get my sub and then come back and record our Halloween episode.
And gosh, the rest I've of been nights, binging a bunch.
What did you
been binging? I've been binging a bunch of movies too.
Anything good?
I can't remember. I know I watched Mother again.
God.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
That they eat a baby in that movie. I could not.
No, wait, what? No. Mother, the Korean film.
Oh. Not Mama or whatever.
No.
What's that one with where they eat the baby? The Gore, Darren Aronofsky? Isn't that Mother as well?
Yeah,
I think it is. Anyway, they eat a baby in that. It's really bad. I mean, it's a metaphoric for like God or whatever. But my one friend Zach was so disturbed; he was like, he had PTSD from that movie.
Dude, that scene is crazy, and And the baby that they used isn't even that. I saw like a photo of it or whatever, or like a behind the scenes. It's not even that real looking. Oh, it doesn't even look that real, you know?
It's supposed to be, yeah. But it's not too real.
Yeah, but oh man. Whoa.
Dude, never again. Anyway, since we are nearing the end of our season, we thought it'd be a great idea. And yeah, I'm not gonna gun it up to being lazy. We're just tired. It's the end of the year, year's winding down. We have kids.
So many things going on.
Too many things going on. We thought we'd do a recap episode. And we're going to talk about recap episodes in a recap episode, or a compilation episode also, it's called. And it's a trope here. Let's see here. This is cool. Clip shows have their origin in theatrical short films and serials. So back in the day, you would go every Saturday to the theater, according to my dad, and watch Captain Blood or The Rocket Man. Batman Robin in the 40s was also one. Mm-hmm. And there were like 20-minute episodes, and then each one would end on a cliffhanger. So you would come back next Saturday with your 15 cents. And you could spend the whole day in the theater, my dad used to say. Isn't that cool? I would love that.
So yeah, we did that one time and we got in trouble.
Oh, wait, did you pay for that? You gotta pay for each one, right? Back then, you'd pay once.
That's when you don't get in trouble, is when you pay for each one. But you know, when
back
you just
then you paid once, you could stay
when
all
you
day.
When you pay for one, and then you go from movie theater to movie.
Hopscotch, theater hopscotch.
Yeah, we saw like Free Willy because we knew they would sell us tickets to Free Willy. But I think we walked out of Free Willy to go into Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow.
And then, gosh, what were the other movies we watched?
Well, that was 93.
I'm trying to remember what else was in theaters right then. We ended up seeing like four movies or like three and a half movies.
Oh, I'm going to play a quick game and see if I can guess these. So summer of 93, I remember this summer well.
Yep.
I know what you probably went and saw. You probably snuck in to see The Fugitive. Or The Firm. The Firm also came out that summer.
Oh, Sleepless in Seattle was one of them.
On this list. Sleepless in Seattle's on
just
this
remembered,
list.
I just remembered, and...
Cliffhanger?
Nope. It wasn't out. It wasn't in the theater at the same time. At least when we were there.
Dennis the Menace was out.
No, we didn't see that.
Last Action Hero, I saw that as a kid. Holy shit. We're really aging ourselves here.
I didn't think I saw that until it was on... I think I saw that on video or TV.
Dave?
No, it wasn't Dave.
In the Line of Fire.
See, I think at one point we split up. So...
Damn.
My brother Ben was definitely snuck into it for the last movie. He snuck into a different movie than us, and there were 12 or 13 of us that did this.
Jesus,
maybe 14 of us.
How did you not get caught?
I don't know. I think they probably just thought we walked out the back door of the movie theater.
Damn, that's ballsy.
Yeah. Yeah, we went in for the first showing. We got there.
Man in Tights came out that summer, too.
Oh, we might have gone to see that. Gosh.
Rookie of the Year. I went and saw that.
I saw that in theaters.
Man, a lot of stuff came out that summer. They don't have seasons like this.
Jason, how many memorable... All those are like memorable movies that you said for the most part. Dave, not so much. But
Rising Sun was the other Michael Crichton because he was a hot
commodity
then, because Jurassic Park and then everyone... Rising Sun didn't do that well.
Hot Shots Part Deux.
Indecent Proposal. I remember wanting to see that.
I didn't. Indecent Proposal is the dramatic version of Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yep.
Have you heard Honeymoon in Vegas with James Caan and Nicolas Cage and Sarah Jessica Parker? It's the same thing. He tricks him into like letting him hurt there. He like offers like $1 million, whatever it is.
What a perv.
Yeah, but he puts Nicolas Cage in debt and then makes the deal. I think it's better than Indecent Proposal.
Oh, I think so too. Especially, you don't get a movie with freaking parachuting Elvises, man. I mean, come on.
That yeah. Like... yeah, exactly. That's awesome. I don't even like Elvis, but that is amazing at the end.
What's Love Got to Do with It was also that summer.
Oh, man.
That sad. Messed me up for a while, dude. Made in America, Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson, terrible movie.
Just so many movies that were big that, like, people
they don't do that anymore.
No.
Coneheads.
Wow.
Super Mario Brothers. 2 weeks ago.
Wow. I saw that in theaters too. Gosh.
This is mind blowing. Life with Mikey.
Yep. That was like, that was, everybody thought that was good. That was a bomb. Life with Mikey.
No way. July 30th. So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, man. That one was so good. The Sandlot. What a good. Gosh, man.
The Sandlot. That.
This is a recap of 93 summer.
Yeah, we're doing recaps.
Adam and Luis.
I remember going to see The Sandlot.
Oh, yeah.
With my friends.
That was the other movie. That was the other movie we saw. Sandlot.
Oh, man. What a
the theater that we went to was like a 16.
Megaplex.
Like, yeah, it was a 16 screen thing. And, man, back then, movies used to stay in theaters for so, like, if people were seeing them, people... They weren't pulling them, you know?
Home Alone was in theaters for over a year.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Jerry Maguire was in theaters for almost 5 months before it actually made money.
I saw that movie.
There was, for the first 5 months, the trailers were pitching it as a sports film.
And then it
wasn't doing well, but it was a Cameron Crowe movie, so they just left it in theaters. Gosh, man, theaters were... And then... He was like, he was like, I got to change up the ads. And he made it, cut a new ad as a rom-com type ad. And then it just like was number one. And it was like, what film ever went to number one 5 months into its run? That'll never happen again.
Kind of reminds me of how long My Big Fat Greek Wedding stayed in the theaters forever.
Oh, that was for a long time too. Titanic was in forever.
Yeah. New York City played Greek Wedding forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
And there were full page ads for My Big Fat Greek Wedding for like a year almost. They were just it said My Big Fat, and then it like named like every type of like all these different peoples from different countries, because everybody was saying it was like, that's just like my family, you know?
Unforgiven came out August 7th that year.
Oh, my mom did not want me to see that.
I snuck that one. Scent of a Woman came out of Christmas. Man, this is a recap.
My friend Mike Fotis was in that one.
He's in that movie?
Yeah, he's just like, he's, you know, at the end, all the students, he's one of the, he's in the front though, but he's like one of the students that's like applauding. Yeah.
Man, dude. That was a good summer for film. Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought I remember 1992 being the best summer of my teenage years, but I'm wrong.
The 94 summer for films was amazing too.
95 was a badass year. 97 was too. Oh, man. We're really aging ourselves. We're not that old. We're just like teenagers during this.
Think about 94. At least I can think of off the top of my head, Pulp Fiction and Forrest Gump.
Yeah, dude. Okay, the top five movies for 1994. And I saw all these except two. The Lion King was number one.
Yep, saw it.
Forrest Gump.
Amazing. Yep, saw it.
Opening day, first.
Say, my sister, I think my sister was born that day.
Whoa.
And me and my older brother were like, that's all right, cool. Going to the movies.
True Lies was number three.
Oh, man, that was so good.
The Flintstones.
Yep, I saw that in theaters too.
Speed. Holy shit, good movie.
Dude, Speed was... People don't know. People make fun of Speed. We even made fun of Speed on that Periscope one time. But that was a wild ride when that came out.
You want to hear something weird? I had a dream about us Periscoping last night again. For my birthday, but this time we were with a son and his dad, and there was like 14,000 people watching what we were watching.
Whoa.
I think that's a sign that we need to go back to Periscoping, or what do they call it now? Twitch?
Periscope's gone now, though.
What do you call it now, kids? Twitch?
Twitch is big, yeah.
When I was a kid, twitching meant you had a nervous tick. You know what I mean? Now it means something you can make money off of. Remember that kid that had the twitch in the Wonder Years?
Yeah.
That kid makes me nervous with that twitching. No offense to, and no offense to anybody that has a twitch issue. I have a twitch issue, so I'm not making fun of anybody.
He's making fun of himself.
Please don't cancel me. Woof came out. Woof.
Was that the like zombie dog movie?
Woof. The guy with Jack Nicholson where he was a wolf.
Oh, wolf. Wolf. I thought you said woof.
Woof.
I was like, there was like a movie about a guy who was like a zombie, but like he was kept as like a pet.
Oh yeah, that's called
Fido.
Fido's good. That's a good one.
Fido. Yeah.
Kept him at the end. They keep him chained up. It's kind of derogatory in a lot of, or the chained up scene from Shaun of the Dead also reminds me of the end of Fido.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they have the fat guy all chained up.
So Fido is just like,
it's pronounced.
Thinking about it, it feels like it seems like a slave master relationship movie.
It's very odd. It's kind of, I don't know. It's an odd one. This is so much fun, by the way. The Mask and the Clear Vision Danger and Maverick and the Client and the Crow, the first Crow. Dude,
we were so upset when we went to see that. We were so sad when he died. Oh my gosh.
Is this Rust movie going to come out?
No.
It's dead in the water.
It was not that far into production.
What a fucked up situation, by the way.
It's so weird, dude. And it was weird because you know how IMDb, you can go on there and like IMDb Pro, it'll like show you who you're connected to, you know, or how you're connected to people. And so I was like, oh man, I'm connected to this woman, you know, because most of what she's done is like low budget stuff. If you've ever worked on a few low budget horror films, like the people that are doing, you know, or work on indie horror films, it's like the same crew all over the country. Like,
It's
like I've worked in films with New York where half the crew was from California or like Arizona or, you know, just because there's not tons of people who are trying to do, I don't know. It seems like there's more people, indie people who are successful with horror films, but most indie filmmakers aren't trying to be the next, like, they're not trying to make horror films, right? Like, the majority of people are trying to be the next, like, I don't know.
Everyone's a fucking filmmaker.
Christopher Nolan or whatever.
There was none of this going on back in 94 where everybody could film anything.
No, it was so hard. Yeah, I mean, you know what I found out recently? There was only two production companies on My Dinner with Andre. One of those two production companies was Troma Films.
I didn't know that Troma produced that.
Troma. And Lloyd Kaufman was the production manager for the film. Yeah, which is just like so weird to think about. Like, it's such a highbrow film, you know?
They paid out of pocket for a lot of that. Sean and his partner.
Yeah.
And then that movie was played in New York like exclusively for a while. And then I worship that fucking movie. I mean, that movie is like, I've read entire screenplays based
everything
on that.
For me. Yeah, dude.
Like, they just don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You don't find movies like that anymore. And it blew the indie art community away.
Yeah.
In New York. And it was way ahead of its time.
The dialogue is so visual that you don't need, like, if the visual was more complex, you wouldn't be able to see it in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, but you can see everything he says, everything he talks about. You can almost like smell, you know, the like the environments that he describes, because
a lot of that
it's so vivid.
It's improvised and scripted, man.
Yeah.
Don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah.
Except this this movie, The Guilty, that I saw last night. Jake Gyllenhaal had to carry the whole movie. It was literally actor was in, you know, only off screen.
Yeah.
And he went from, that's a good one. I mean, he carried that movie well. Every emotion, every beat, and then when we find out what's going on, like, oh
yeah. Wow,
it's up there with one of his better performances.
Yeah, I gotta see that one.
It's good. It's oof. Yeah, it's rough, but they don't make them like that anymore. I'm having more fun recapping summer '94 films. This is fucking great. The Little Rascals came out that year.
Oh right? Man, I think I saw that in theaters too.
The Shadow, which was a missed opportunity. I wish they would bring that back. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm getting random.
Oh, you're fine.
Random text from people. Natural Born Killers, Four Weddings and a Funeral. Man. They just don't do this. There's no way that that theaters, that product studios won't release this many films, I don't think, ever again in a year.
I mean, that many good films.
Yeah. Or, I mean, their production slates are
oh, yeah. They're much skimmer.
Trimmer. Ace Ventura came out that year.
Wow. That is crazy that he had both of those that same summer.
And Schindler's.
Wow. Ace Ventura and Mask. Wow. Schindler's also that summer?
Jurassic Park. Oh, that came out December 15th and then Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay.
11th. I remember being in the theater and peeking into Schindler's List. The Reader really brought up a lot of emotions from when I saw Schindler's List. Wow.
The Reader's intense.
The Reader is really intense. Really sad, too.
It's one of those movies that's so good. It's like, it's such a crushing ending. You just don't want to revisit it again.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that ever again. When he took her to the gravestone, his daughter, and started telling her, like, this is the story I've wanted to tell you. Oh, man, I was heartbroken. And she was looking at him like, finally, man, that's a beautifully, the performances in that movie were top notch.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good. Ralph Fiennes. He hasn't done something like that in quite a while.
So good. He was so good.
Isn't he Voldemort? He's Voldemort, right?
Yeah, he is.
I guess
he hasn't. That's a pretty big franchise to be a part of. You're basically filming. It's not like, is it approved? It's just like they just filmed those one after the other.
Yeah. Well, same thing with James Bond. Now he's the
yeah. Like they were like prepping one while they were like filming one sort of thing.
Yeah,
they had different schedule. They had different directors. You know,
every 2 years or every year. Like, every didn't, year they came out.
Well, Chris Columbus did it twice.
Yeah,
and didn't he? Gosh, I feel like, or maybe he did three of them.
No, he did the first two, and then
okay.
Azkaban was Prisoner of Azkaban was the.
Well, that's number four. Right? That was Quran.
I thought it was number three.
Oh, it was number three.
I think it was number three. Let's look.
Why did I think that was number three?
Wow, we're like Harry Potter.
I know. Quran.
I want the order of these, damn it. Oh, there we go.
Subscribe to our new podcast. Movie Theater Time Machine.
So Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And then
Chamber of Secrets.
Azkaban.
Oh, okay. It is Azkaban was three.
Goblet of Fire.
So yeah, when Quran did that film, that totally changed the tone of all the rest of them.
That's why they need it, because it's a darker book, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never saw any of these, by the way. I've seen one many a time, but I stopped that for that.
Oh.
I need to be shamed publicly for it.
Nah, it's whatever. It's a cultural thing though. It's like definitely a cultural. It was like that generation Star Wars, you know?
Yeah. But we grew up with no witchcraft allowed, so I was always I always thought that Harry would possess the house or something. But I did watch Deathly Hallows. Like, I skipped all of them and then watched the end of Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Mm.
I'm like, whoa, this is intense. I heard Deathly Hallows Part 1, they're just running around the forest. A lot of people hated that one.
Yeah, the first one wasn't as good. I fell asleep in the theater for it. I was there opening night too, and like I fell asleep. I was like, "This is boring."
Doesn't Gimli, is that his name? Gimli's in Lord of the Rings. Who's the little guy that gets stabbed at the end? It's so sad. He's like,
gosh, I don't even
I'm surrounded by friends.
The dwarf.
That's so sad.
Gosh, I can't remember what his name is. Dobby. Elf. He's an elf.
He's like, a wonderful thing.
He's a something elf. I can't remember. I want to say shelf elf, but it's not that. Obviously, it's not that.
Dobby's a shelf elf.
Dobby the shelf elf.
Man, now Master, I'm curious.
Master has given Dobby a sock.
Dobby is insulted.
Dobby is free.
Dobby is insulted by your going off track of this episode. I mean, who wants to talk about recaps? It's better to talk about movies. Who cares?
This is my favorite This is one of my favorite episodes. Captain Caveman!
That was our first guest. We had that guy that had that show. And our sex episode is pretty funny too. That was actually really funny.
My headphones?
Huh?
I feel like I thought you were coming through my headphones, but I think you're coming through the computer.
Oh.
I'm like, that's gonna mess with the audio. Let me check that really quick. Is that the right one?
Summer of 95, Batman there. Forever. Wow.
God. Batman Forever.
Apollo 13, Pocahontas, Casper.
Oh, man.
That's that time.
Did not see Pocahontas. Definitely not. I've never seen it. I've never want to. Casper, I thought that was great. I actually rewatched it recently.
Yeah.
With my son.
Is it good?
It's great. It's really good. It's better than I remembered it being.
Devin Sawa.
Devin Sawa, yeah. And what was the one you said before that? I saw that too.
Apollo 13.
Apollo 13, yeah. Totally saw that in theaters. With like my dad and my brothers.
I think I saw Crimson Tide in the theater.
Didn't see that one in theaters.
Waterworld and Congo both
in theaters. I did see Crimson Tide in theaters. I think I saw that in Michigan.
That was a rough one.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
That's the submarine, right? Yeah.
They don't know if they're supposed to, if the order was real or not. And so Gene and Denzel fight. It's good.
Yeah. That one's intense. Man, I haven't watched that since that, probably, since it was in theaters.
Dangerous Minds, biggest soundtrack of like the decade.
Yeah.
Was Coolio's. Gangster's Paradise, right?
Gangster's Paradise, yeah.
Damn, that song would not go away. And I was working at Sam Goody.
That song's still around, dude. My kids are like, no, that song.
After Awa. Species. Species with Nicole.
Species. I was not allowed to see that.
That was a sexy one. Oof. lots of boobs and butt. Alien butt.
And I've never seen it since because, like, is it good? Or
it's really dumb.
Who's the writer, though? I think the writer.
I don't know.
I might be thinking. I feel like I've heard a story about the.
Damn. This movie was released in 2,310 theaters. That would never happen nowadays.
2,310 theaters.
It was in release for 178 days, 25 weeks in the theater. Unheard of nowadays. Dude, things have changed.
Wow.
It makes me sad. It only made $60
million. Theater culture was great, man.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Going to the movies, the response, you know, the collective response, the collective feeling. Like, we saw me and Ben and Mike and Noah. Who else was with us? Went and saw Omen when they came out. On June 6th, 2006, you know.
The new Omen?
The new one, yeah.
That was
And but that was during a time when if the movie was bad, I would just use the theater to, like, do stand-up.
Yeah.
And I would just riff out loud on the movie. And
I saw that with you.
Ben was like, maybe you were there.
I think I was there.
I think you were there.
I remember seeing the Omen in the theater.
In
Poughkeepsie.
I think you were there.
No, it was in Newburgh or something random. It wasn't. I was there. I did.
I feel like you were there.
That was a yeah.
But Ben was like, "Yo, you were like working this theater." Because
I remember that.
Because after a few jokes, like I had like
work on the crowd.
But like, yeah, the whole crowd was laughing at me. That was not a great remake.
No, it wasn't. It was. I remember being disappointed severely in it. Do you remember going to see the screening of Final Destination 5? And we were trying to get 3D glasses.
Oh, yes.
We're telling the guy, look, this is in 3D. He said, no. And then they started it, and then they stopped it. And then he was throwing glasses. It was the messiest screening ever. And then he looked like John Hammond, remember? And he was like, we're going to start the movie.
Yeah.
He's like, if you're patient, there's plenty of dinosaurs on this tour. And then everybody started laughing because they knew that they looked just like John Hammond, dude.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of dinosaurs.
No, that was, yeah, dude. That guy was, oh my gosh, man. I totally forgot about that.
And then,
oh my gosh.
It was fucking shit. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's the worst of them. The first few were really good.
Yeah, I saw the first
one. Still solid.
With this really hot chick from Cracker Barrel that I was kind of hanging out with. We had the whole theater to ourselves.
For the first one? Wow.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Was it before? Because that wasn't a big open. Wasn't that like a word of mouth?
Yeah, it was.
If I remember right.
Wasn't that James Wan, like his first?
No.
No?
No, Saw is his first. Saw was James Wan's first. Unless Saw is just the first one he directed.
I think I'm getting all mixed up.
Saw is definitely James
Wan's first. He wrote. James Wan was the director of
Final Destination. Which one? Was he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why did I?
And then he did. I think James Wan and James Wong were getting them mixed up.
Oh.
My bad. I'm not pronouncing. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's take our first break. Let's run into this. And then when we come back, we're going to keep talking about recapping our favorite movie theater experiences. Because this is way more fun than recap episodes on the TV Time Machine podcast.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Okay. And we are back, the TV Time Machine podcast. We'd like to you're fine. As Adam said, brought to you by our friends over at NorthFreshCoffeeRoasters.com. Please use promo code PONDER at checkout for 10% off your order. And give them a try. You know, I get a 2 pounds delivered to me once a month. Every other week, I get a pound of coffee. And it's like having a packaged ray of sunshine, and I can taste Portland in it. It sounds weird. I'm not homesick anymore. I'm numb now. I'm just numb. But coffee really loosens me up. That didn't sound good.
My emotions. Sunshine in a cup.
Sunshine in a cup. You know, I might be a little biased because Tristan's a good friend of mine, but please give this coffee a whirl. You know what I was telling Tristan? Because we are in a supply chain crisis. Now's the time for him. Because I was at the store the other day. Mm-hmm. And there was no Seattle's Best at all. There was decaf only. And that's bullshit. I don't decaf. Yeah, what's drinking? Decaf? Come on. So I said, Tristan should go to these stores now.
Yeah.
And be like, I don't have a supply problem. I mean, I don't know how it works on his side of the business, but that'd be a good idea, right? Mm-hmm. Forget Seattle's Best.
Yeah.
North Fresh Coffee. We're not going to leave you hanging.
Nope.
What was that? Was that on your end?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I was about to say, if that wasn't on your end and that was on my end and it's Halloween, holy shit, that was scary. We'd also like to thank our other sponsor, EverlastingComfort.com. Please try their humidifier, that one model that we've referred to before. Please use promo code THESCREAMKID for $25 off your order. EverlastingComfort.com for all your humidifier and comfort needs.
And we
know what's better than comfort?
It's winter. Nothing.
Everlasting comfort.
Ooh.
Oh!
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I try.
But this cool. is the time. This is the time you need a humidifier because it's winter.
Yeah.
The heat is on. You're going to start getting dry, ashy skin like me. I haven't broken out the humidifier yet.
We needed them recently because we had a COVID incident and we needed humidifiers. And this little bad boy came into play. Just makes the air, you know, everything's better.
Yeah.
EverlastingComfort.com, promo code THESCREAMKID at checkout for $25 off your order. Actually, 20% off, excuse me. Man, we're going to lose this ad share. Anyway, we are back and we're talking about recaps or clip shows, but then we started talking about reminiscing. We're going to do some more reminiscing here before we tape our season finale episode. Well, we got to get in the costume for that. And I need my sub. So we're moving into summer of 1996, right? We did 95. 96?
I thought we talked about the top 10 of 94.
Okay, we'll move into 95. Oh, no, we did.
There were some ones we missed, though. Did you know City Slickers 2 also came out that year? 94.
Oh, we were on 95 when we left.
Were we?
Yeah, we were Pocahontas, Cats were.
Oh, that's right.
Batman Forever. So I think we should move on to 96.
I'm lost.
96 is, I don't think that the best. Oh, what am I saying? Wash my mouth out with hot water. Independence Day came out that summer.
That was a big one.
That was a huge one. Twister, Mission Impossible, The Rock.
Wow, that was a huge summer.
Twister, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know it.
Twista?
Mission Impossible was also a huge hit.
Yep.
Coming in at number 3, The Rock, not Dwayne The Rock. He wasn't even around yet. This was the Michael Bay thriller. It's not that bad. Muddy Professor. Yep. Did not age well.
No.
Not at all.
Cable guy.
Hunchback, A Time to Kill. Another John Grisham. We were on a John Grisham kick back then. Mm-hmm.
Two big bombs that temporarily like set back some careers and big directors directing these films. There was Multiplicity directed by Harold Ramis starring Michael Keaton. What did Michael Keaton do after that? He had like a few flops in a row, right, with that one. And then The Frighteners, which was Peter Jackson, and it was Michael J. Fox. And then Michael
underrated J. Fox, film.
Very underrated, but it flopped. And Michael J. Fox did not work until, what's it called, came up. Was it Spin City?
Spin City, yeah. Phenomenon was out, it's number 7.
But yeah, because he had The Life with Mikey, which was a bomb, and then Frighteners is a bomb.
Yeah, Life with Mikey was kind of a...
They were like, you're done.
That movie shouldn't have been made. It should have been made in the 70s. It would have done so much better. Mm-hmm. That was not a 90s film.
No.
Kingpin also came out that summer. That did not age well either. Kingpin. That's with Woody Harrelson and Randy Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
The Fairley Brothers bowling comedy with Bill Murray.
Yeah. Which definitely was like Big Lebowski was big and they were like, oh, let's do this.
Escape from LA was awful. Chain Reaction, I remember. That was one of the first like big action PG-13s. That's when they started doing PG-13 action films.
Yep. Keanu Reeves, right?
And Keanu Reeves.
Was it Morgan Freeman also?
Morgan Freeman. You know what I never saw? I never saw The Fan with De Niro and Wesley Snipes. where De Niro plays like a crazed fan.
I never did either.
That
we should. I always wanted to see that. Yeah,
that looks good. I'm gonna click on it and see where it's playing. It's probably on Amazon for rent. It didn't do well. Only 19 weeks. 19 weeks in theaters is not bad.
Ooh. We already talked about this one, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, 96.
Yep. And it did almost $300 million in the box office. This was a rough one. Do you remember Ransom?
Yeah, I Barry love Sinise. That movie.
Oh man, it was so good. I think
it's worse like as a parent.
It probably is. I have not watched it in a while.
If you watch it now, you're gonna be a mess. I was a mess watching it with like a few years ago.
Yeah.
Because now we're parents. We weren't parents back then.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think that.
Yeah.
Of course we're young. Of course it would have been weird if we were parents, but just weird. A very Brady sequel came out a year later after the first one.
One of my favorite films. And it was one of the first movies released. It was the first movie released in 96. 12 Monkeys.
I never saw that.
Came out. Oh, man.
Terry Gilliam, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bruce Willis.
It's about a virus, right?
Madeline Stowe, Brad Pitt. Yep. It's about a virus. People go underground. Christopher Plummer. David Morse.
David Morse, man. 15 bucks. So good. He's a good actor. My dad knows that guy.
So good. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Him and Cliff D. Young, I think, all studied together or something.
Wow.
Island of Dr. Moreau.
Two other big comedies came out that in '96, and man, January was a crazy month. Biodome and Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood.
I never saw that one. Don't Be a Menace. I heard good things.
Oh, it was so good.
It was
so
making good. Fun of all the, remember all the LA street movies that were coming out?
It has Don't Be a Menace, has South Central, it has Juice, and Boys in the Hood. Like, those are all in the title.
Biodome is when that was Pauly's last movie before he...
Pauly and Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, it's a terrible film.
It's a...
fucking when terrible.
When you're a teenager, though, that was a good one.
I mean, I hated it. I just remember Stephen Baldwin's ass like always out in that movie.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
pasty ass.
Me and my friends, we totally went and saw that a bunch. Eye for an Eye. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, Sally Field.
Yep.
That would do well nowadays.
John Schlesinger. That movie's so good. Sally Kiefer. Field and Kiefer. Yeah, and Ed
Toy
Harris.
Story came out that year.
And Joe Mantegna.
Ooh, Joe Mantegna. Dark one here. First kid. Yeah, Brock Pierce went on to Sinbad.
Yep.
And Brock Pierce, who went on to be involved in a large child porn ring.
Whoa.
And one of the inventors of the Bitcoin. This guy's insane. What? Yeah, look up Brock Pierce one day. The kid from First Kid. It's the saddest thing.
That's wild. Dust Till Dawn came out.
Oh yeah, that's year. A good one.
Yeah.
I was too scared to see that. I didn't see that right away.
I did not see it in theaters either. I didn't really do horror in theaters. Like, if I couldn't, you know, change it off or whatever. Like, not that I ever did really, but I didn't want to do horror in theaters.
Man, they were some... Oh, Braveheart came out that year too, May 24th. Mm. Didn't make that much money, Braveheart. Weird.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah, 75 million only domestically. Total gross, only 75.
Wow. Black Sheep came out in 96 also. Yeah. And Dead Man Walking, Tim Robbins film. Well, directed.
Tim Robbins?
He directed that.
That's with Johnny Depp, right?
Dead Man. That's just Dead Man.
Oh yeah,
Susan Sarandon, Sean Penn.
Yeah. That's a sad one.
Yeah.
She like becomes friends with a murderer, right?
Mm-hmm. The Juror was that year too.
Yeah, that didn't. That they were trying to. He was trying to
JGL and James Gandolfini.
They were trying to copy. They were trying to get on the John Grisham game. Yeah.
Work. It was like the
Demi Moore.
Yep.
I remember trailer.
It was Demi Moore and Alec Baldwin, but I was trying to highlight the other people that were in it that ended up. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, yeah.
James Gandolfini.
He was a little boy in that.
Yeah, he was.
He was the one that was, remember they were coming up on him when he was riding his bike?
Oh, I bet you remember seeing this one in theaters. What? White Squall.
Ridley Scott film. That was rough.
Jeff Bridges, John Savage.
I cried in that one. That's a rough movie.
Scott Wolf. Yeah, I cried a bunch in that. Balthazar Getty, Jeremy Sisto, Jason Marsden. Eric Michael Cole, Julio Oscar Machoso, Ethan Embry.
Ethan Embry had the biggest crush on.
There's so many people in this.
Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep.
Let's do one more year and then we've got to move on. I'm going to do 97. I don't remember.
Oh, whoa. Happy Gilmore also came out that year.
In 96?
96.
Happy Gilmore.
Gosh, man. And Bottle Rocket, Wes Anderson.
Why is this doing that?
Wow, man. 96.
Why is this doing that? Ew.
The Birdcage and Fargo were also 96.
Yeah, they don't make... There's no way in hell that many good movies come out in a year anymore.
Nope.
What?
Wow, man. Executive Decision. That movie's great.
That one's really good. Steven Seagal gets killed in that.
Yep.
Terribly.
Right at the beginning.
That shocked me when he died. Ugh. That's with Halle Berry, right?
Yeah, and John Leguizamo. That was like one of John Leguizamo's first like big roles.
Kurt.
In like a big budget film, you know.
Kurt did so good in that movie.
Diabolique
I never saw.
Flirting with Disaster, David O. Russell. The Ben Stiller, Patricia Arquette, Tia Leone. Yeah.
It's a sad one. That's about adoption. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moving on to 1997. The biggest movie of that year was The Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Interesting. Movie. Father's Day. I thought that was a flop.
I remember, I think I was. Wow. So Titanic. That was bigger than Titanic?
I think Titanic came out in...
Titanic was 97.
It's not on here. Why is it not on here? Oh, I didn't. This is summer movies, 97.
Oh, okay.
Titanic was a Christmas movie, right? Yeah, I think it was Christmas.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, this is all summer. Fifth Element made more money than... Wait a minute. Oh, this is Meta Ratings.
Okay. So, okay. Beverly Hills Ninja came out at the beginning of 97.
Never saw it.
But this was not a big opening this year. Fierce Creatures, the John Cleese film.
Don't remember that one.
Prefontaine, Jared Leto. And
that was a good movie. O'Neil.
Yeah, that was good. Gridlocked, Tim Roth and Tupac, and Lucy Liu. Man,
Lost World.
So many of these I don't even know. John's.
John's is old.
Meet Wally Sparks.
That's Rodney Dangerfield, right?
No, John's is Scott Silver directed, David Arquette, Lucas Haas, John C. McKinley.
Yeah, but Wally Sparks is Rodney Dangerfield, right?
What?
Wally Sparks was Rodney?
Oh,
Rodney
yeah, Twice? That was Rodney. Yeah.
Aww.
Yep. Shadow Conspiracy? I've never even heard of that. Charlie Sheen, Donald Sutherland. Yeah.
Linda Hamilton, right?
Yeah. Ben Gazzara. Sam Waters. Wow.
That flops.
See it.
It's a flop. It's terrible.
Oh, Star Wars Special Edition came out.
Oh, yeah. 97, that's right.
Yep, right at the beginning of the year.
That was a huge release. I remember
going
to Connecticut to see that. It
was packed, man. And the line to get in even beforehand.
Lowe's.
This was one of my favorite movies of the year. Waiting for Guffman. Christopher Guest.
I didn't know that until later.
Yeah. Oh man, my brother was like, "You got to see this movie."
That's mockumentaries, man. They're so good.
Dante's Peak.
Yep.
John Leguizamo's The Pest.
Never saw that. It looked obnoxious.
I saw it once, but I feel like I fell asleep maybe during it.
He stands by that movie. He's always putting that poster on Instagram.
Yeah.
Leguizamo.
Suburbia. Richard Linklater. That was a big one. Remember?
The girl, right? You mean that girl.
Eric Bogosian wrote that? I had no clue.
I don't know who that
Nikki
is.
Nikki Cat. Eric Bogosian was in Talk Radio, the Oliver
Stone. Oh, movie. Yeah.
But I used to work with him on Law & Order.
He's the actor in that movie?
Yeah, he's the actor in Talk
Radio. The main lead, the Talk Radio guy? That was a good movie.
I think he might have written it also.
That movie was like so underrated.
He writes awesome poetry. He was like a slam poet before he was like an actor. Parker Posey was in that. Giovanni Ribisi. Steve Zahn.
That flew way under the radar, that movie.
Oh, man. That was a big one for us when that came out.
Mimic. Oh, I hated
Mimic. Absolute Power. Clint Eastwood.
Never saw it.
William Goldman. Screenplay. I didn't know that. I've never seen it either.
That's on HBO Max, though, if you want to watch it. All the Clints are on there.
That's a crazy cast. Clint Eastwood, Gene Hackman, Ed Harris, Laura Linney.
It's the same plot as that Kevin Costner, Gene Hackman movie, No Way Out, where a congressperson kills someone. And I think sudden this one with Clinton, Gene, he witnesses somebody.
Oh, man. Did you watch Fools Rush In when that came out?
Yeah.
Matthew Perry, Selma Hayek.
I saw that, I think, in the theater.
Yeah.
That's when Friends was doing so well.
Yeah.
Damn. They tried to make all these sitcom people big stars. Didn't know his work.
I didn't hear about this. Do you remember Touch? Bridget Fonda, Christopher Walken, Skeet Ulrich, from directed and written by Paul Schrader?
I remember Touch, yeah. The title.
Oh, Janine Garofalo was in it, too. It's a comedy.
Skeet.
It's a comedy. Skeet Ulrich. Tom Arnold. Gina Gershon.
Tom Arnold.
That guy is not around. Vegas Vacation. I saw this in theaters. I saw this in Michigan with my cousin.
I saw that with a roommate.
My cousin Allison and my brothers.
They were really trying to bring that back, and that was the last good one.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an Uncle
Ethan Embry was in that one too.
Yeah, he's good. He was good in that.
Dude, I loved it.
What was Uncle? What was her cousin Eddie? Then the TBS released a Cousin Eddie movie, and it was just
with
Randy Quaid. Yeah, it was just fucking just straight to TV. Mm-hmm. What a shit show.
Yeah.
Lost
Highway. That one I did not see in theaters. I didn't see that.
That's David Lynch, right?
Yeah. David Lynch, Bill Pullman, Patricia Arquette, Balthazar Getty.
That movie is creepy.
Blake, Gary Busey, Robert Loggia, Richard Pryor.
What?
I don't remember. I forgot Richard. Oh. Jack Nance, Henry Rollins, Marilyn Manson, Twiggy, Giovanni Ribisi.
He was doing all those independents. He was the independent kid.
Mink Stole. Wow, man.
Speaking of packing heat, Giovanni Ribisi. Holy hell. Holy hell. I forget what movie he was in. Damn, dude. Gives Michael Fassbender a run for his money, dude. I was like, dude, Jesus. The Saint.
Oh, man, I love that movie.
You saw that like 8 times.
Yes. Yes, I did. I saw it so many times.
Oh, Fonzie.
I saw it like 3 or 4 times with Mike and Noah. I think I saw it by myself a couple times. Donnie Brasco.
Good movie.
Loved that one. Mike Newell.
Did you like The Lost World? I wasn't too crazy about it.
I feel like we made fun of it.
It's kind of
Hard 8 also came out in 97. Yeah. Did not see that in theaters though. I wish I did.
Oh, Good Will Hunting.
Wow. Such a good year.
LA Confidential. Life is Beautiful.
Yep. Saw that one.
The First Funny Games. Nope.
Did not see that one.
Dude, As Good As It Gets was good. That came out that year.
Yeah, that was great. Definitely saw that in theaters.
Is that the same guy, James L. Brooks? Is that the act, the Simpsons guy? The writer?
I don't know.
Oh, that was a rare.
Liar, Liar. And Selena.
Selena was good.
Oh, man. Selena was so good.
Titanic. There's no way studios release as many films these days. There's no way in hell.
Nope.
They release what? 10?
Chasing Amy.
Near Miramax.
Yep.
Volcano came out right after Dante's Peak, remember?
Yeah. Yep.
Stupid.
And Gross Point Blank.
That was a good one. Air Force One. Dude, there's no way. How do we keep up with all these without going broke?
They were $425 or whatever. I don't even think it was that much.
Breakdown came out that year. That movie is amazing. Kurt Russell and Kathleen Quinlan, when they get trapped in that little town and they're driving that red Jeep, it's so good.
Breakdown.
The Game.
Is that the one? Wait. Breakdown.
If you see the cover, you'll recognize it.
Sounds so familiar.
It's like a
yes, Kurt Russell. Yeah. I saw that.
That was just a simple movie.
Crazy. They like put her in the freezer or something like that.
Damn.
Dude, that movie was crazy.
In and Out.
Did you see Murder at 1600? Oh, In and Out.
Murder at 1600 had a softcore porn scene at the beginning. Do you remember that? Sex scene was insane. I remember going with my dad to the theater and I was just in shock. Like, it's like, remember the, what was the name of that Showtime show at night? Zal Kilman's something. It was like a sex show, like a softcore porn show. And
no, I don't know.
That was just like that at the beginning of that movie. It was insane.
Do you remember In the Gloaming?
Yeah, that's an HBO movie.
Oh, okay. It was to HBO.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeves directed that.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's got like Glenn Close, right? Or something.
Yeah, Glenn Close, Bridget Fonda, Whoopi Goldberg, Robert Sean Leonard.
It's about a son coming home who has AIDS.
And Christopher Reeves' son, Will Reeves, is in it.
Is that what the plot is? He comes, it's a college kid returns home or something.
I think so. Sick. Yeah.
Oh, man. Wild America. Alien Resurrection. Oh, I hated that movie. The movie sucks. The Relic. Oh, anyway.
Relic. Austin Powers was that year.
Austin Powers.
The first one came out in 97.
Can you believe that shit?
Wow.
A Man in Black, Event Horizon Contact. Great sci-fi. Man in
Black was that year.
Starship Troopers. Oh.
Movie's so good. People either don't get it. They're just like, what? I don't get it. Or it's like, it's obviously a propaganda. Like, it's like about war propaganda.
It's making fun of it. Yeah, it's making fun of America, basically.
Yeah. That's what Verhoeven does.
The first big release that went straight to DVD, or not even DVD, VHS, was Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
That was straight to DVD?
Straight to, it was the parents, yeah.
Yeah.
A huge release that went right to video, because it was, I remember the effects being so terrible and being like, wow, this is.
I don't remember that. Oh man, this was a really toxic movie, Addicted to Love.
Yeah, it was.
Meg, Meg Ryan and Matthew Broderick stalk their exes together.
Yeah, the director was in the movie too. He wasn't that guy.
Griffin
was
Dunne.
He was in. He was in a lot of his own movies back then. Griffin Dunne.
Griffin Dunne. Yeah.
Face Off, Con Air, dude. Like The Jackal. How did we keep up with all these movies? I saw all these in the theater. Speed 2, Cruise Control was awful.
Oh, wow. Gone Fishing with Joe Pesci and Danny Glover.
That's so bad. Danny Glover hurt himself really bad on that set.
Oh, gosh.
Like, and sued the pants off of.
Oh, and Trial and Error? Gosh, man.
Trial and Error, that sounds familiar. That was a flop.
Jeff Daniels and Michael Richards. Yeah, Shirley Stallone.
Yep. Back before the incident with Michael, they were trying to make him a star. Yeah.
Con Air.
Con Air was great.
Con Air's cast is crazy.
John Let Malkovich. Me read the cast. Yeah, go for it.
Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich, Steve Buscemi, Ving Rhames, Cole Meany, Danny Trejo, Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle?
Dave Chappelle.
Is he a prisoner?
I think he is. I think I definitely remember him in like a jumpsuit.
That's when that didn't, one of the lines was, where are you going? And Nick Cage turns around and goes, gonna go save the day.
Yeah.
And they flew an airplane to downtown Vegas and clipped a Hard Rock Cafe guitar.
Yep.
They don't make movies like that anymore. Nope. Michael Bay.
That came out the same weekend as Speed 2 Cruise Control, and that movie.
I saw that. I saw that in the theater, and I hate
Willem
it.
Dafoe. Willem Dafoe was in that, too.
Remember he had leeches? He was, like, letting leeches suck him off. Or his back, excuse me.
Yeah.
Michael Bay finally has a new action movie coming out called Ambulance with Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's got the old Michael Bay 90s action feels.
Dude, it looked good.
Ambulance?
Good.
Ambulance?
It looks good to me. I thought it, and then it's, and I was like, wait, this is Michael Bay?
I think the title should have just been Cops and Robbers. Ambulance is a terrible title. Cops and Robbers?
Yeah, Cops and Robbers is great.
Would have been a great title.
You just have to write that one.
I had a script for that to Cops and Robbers.
Victor Nunez's Yuli's Gold. Did you see that one?
That's with Peter Fonda. No, I never saw that. I wanted to.
It's great. My mom loved that one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I remember. This was a naughty one. Bliss.
That was one of his last films, Victor Nunez.
The Ice Storm. Damn. I could do this all day. Scream 2.
Wow. Oh. Batman and Robin.
Fucking sucked. I hated that movie.
So bad.
I saw it in the theater
Scream
and hated 2, it.
Though. Scream 2 was awesome.
I saw that alone.
Okay. There's another movie that came out that year I saw alone.
Which one?
My Best Friend's Wedding.
I saw that alone as well. And I cried.
I totally cried too.
That exact same situation was happening to me with this girl I liked. She was wanting to date a good friend of mine, and I was like devastated. I remember went to see that to like for therapy. Was devastated.
I forgot Paul Giamatti was in it.
In Best Friend's Wedding?
Yeah, and Christopher Masterson. I remember him. He's in the scene where they're like doing the helium balloons and singing.
Oh yeah. He's a lot older than I thought.
He was a little kid in that movie.
He was like a teenager in that.
Yeah, yeah.
What's Paul Giamatti's in Best Friend's Wedding?
Yeah.
Where?
He's in, I don't remember, but he's in this cast list.
I don't remember him at all.
Dermot Mulroney, Cameron Diaz, Rupert Everett, Philip Bosco, Michael Emmett Walsh, the late, great Michael Emmett Walsh, who was in a bunch of Coen Brother movies among. Isn't Blood Simple, right? Like that got them to start him.
I don't remember Paul in that movie at all, and I've seen that movie several times.
Carrie Preston from True Blood. Susan Sullivan is in it. She's like the mom. Yeah, Paul Giamatti. I don't know who he is.
I'm looking at it. It must be a thing. What?
Bree Turner from Grimm was in it. Joseph Scarora from Power was in it. Philip Ingram.
Oh, did you see the new Curb?
Not yet. I got it.
Paul, is this his scene? It is. He's the bellhop.
What?
Hold on.
Wow, that's back when he was like doing small parts. Like he was in Donnie Brasco.
Look. One scene.
Back when you could smoke anywhere.
She was such a wreck. I loved her character.
Yeah.
Perfect. It was very rare for them to portray a female as flawed as she was. Mm-hmm. That was never heard of in a rom-com. You know? Yeah. I heard test audiences for this movie. They had to refilm a ton of it because
she was less likable or
yeah, there's a scene where in the trailer she's apologizing to Candace Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
And Cameron Diaz is distraught and crying. That scene got refilmed and Cameron Diaz is all in her face. They wanted to empower the fiance and not make her a victim. That was one big, huge takeaway from the test audience to make Julia more appealing. There were scenes in that movie where they had her hair pulled back and she looked like a straight up villain. She was the villain of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, she is.
That's a hard sell, man. It's a brilliant script.
Yeah, it's great. It wouldn't get made again. That's for sure.
This screenshot is really great. Here, I'm going to share this with you. Binge Society. Oh, we're like coming up on an hour here. All right. Well, if you've been hanging out with us this long, thanks for bearing with us. This is a random, this went way off the rails, but I enjoyed it. Our next episode is our season finale. We're going to talk about the 31 best Halloween TV episodes ever. I'm going to be in costume for a little bit of it because I won't be able to breathe otherwise. I'm going to grab a sub in the meantime. This was a lot of fun. I forgot Paul Giamatti was in this movie. Wow.
Dude, we missed. There was a ton of other good films in 97. Good Burger, yeah. Air Force One, Mrs. Brown, George of the Jungle. I don't know about that, but
George of the Jungle is good.
Contact.
Yeah, I mentioned Contact earlier. I love that movie. Okay. That's a good movie.
And Men in Black and Face Off also.
Yeah.
Face Off.
All right. Well, from the TV Time Machine podcast, I am Luis.
And I'm Adam. And
we love TV.
We love TV.
All right. I'll be right back. I'm going to text you.
TV Time Machine. TV Time Machine. Woo! TV Time Machine. TV Time Machine. TV Time Machine. TV Time Machine.